Coming up now, another segment from the Left and the Law team, Mike Snedeker and Jan Hawken. They'll also be discussing DACA, particularly the recent ruling blocking the deportation of the Dreamers and the prospects that the ruling can withstand efforts to overturn it.
Good morning. This is Jan Hawken talking with Mike Snedeker and continuing our conversation about the Trump administration's intensified crackdown on immigrants and resistance to these reactionary politics. Mike, let's start with a hopeful event this month. U.S. District Judge William Alsup granted a request by California and other plaintiffs throughout the country to prevent President Trump from ending the DACA program, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. Let's start by talking a little bit about the role of the federal courts in the resistance and how this is similar and different from the travel ban that also played out through federal courts last year.
Well, this has immense support. What Larry said about how this issue has become the face of the resistance right now is absolutely true, and you can see by the list of plaintiffs in the lawsuit. It was the University of California, joined by Brown University, several other universities, by the city of San Jose, complaining about the fact that they have relied on these people as city workers. They've trained them, made a substantial investment. There are all sorts of bureaucratic organizations, schools, workplaces, and of course, individuals who were joined. And it's an impressive long list of plaintiffs. And the state of Oregon joined a similar lawsuit filed back in New York. So there is a huge presence of people suing.
On a political level, this also is an expression of the enormous dependency throughout the country on the labor of immigrants and how much their skills and their work contributes to the functioning of the society. On the other hand, the standing in this case seemed to rely very heavily on the economic costs to institutions rather than to the immigrants themselves. Can you say a little bit about that distinction and how standing or the basis of the case is made?
Well, it's an effective form of politics in a way. You have not only people who work in small towns, as Larry said, that immigrants have supported many dying clusters of people all over this country, but they also are relied on by the largest corporations who file Apple, Google, the most modern, cutting-edge, enormous, and dominant corporations rely on immigrants. And you get a sense of how widespread the contributions are, the reliance on these people are by the list of plaintiffs in these lawsuits. What they've done is essentially challenge, sort of reverse what was done by conservatives during the Obama era, where they would search for favorable courts in Texas primarily and get injunctions from a single judge that would have countrywide effect. And they did that to stop Obama's expansion of immigration programs and several other issues, including the DAPA, not DACA, which has to do with the parents of people who are here. In this case, Judge Alsup took a deep dive into administrative law, because everybody agrees that President Trump does have the right, as would any executive, to overturn previous executive orders. But it's a large but, and a but successfully exploited so far. It has to be done in the right way. There is an Administrative Procedures Act that requires that there be some sort of due process and that you cannot base it, for example, on a mistake of law, or you have to have reasons and you can't make up reasons after the fact.
And that's where the immigrant rights come in terms of the process and how their lives are suddenly and capriciously thrown into chaos.
Yeah, well, there's something called a reliance interest. That means these people have spent 5 years assuming that the law would protect them, to set out a way by which if they make certain personal disclosures, then they in turn will be protected. So they have made all these disclosures. They've put themselves out. Not only have they relied on it, but other people have relied on them. So there was no indication in the decision of Attorney General Sessions and the Department of Homeland Security, no recognition of this reliance interest.
Isn't that a difference historically between liberals and conservatives in terms of this issue of process, and that the Trump administration is getting a little better at process? But at the end of the day, if the result is the same, it can be a kind of rationalizing of the brutality of the system to focus only on process.
Well, one part of this process is, since we don't have many reasoned statements by President Trump, Judge Alsup relied on a couple of tweets where he praised the Dreamers, saying they don't have any reason to worry, that he said over the last year or two. And he was dissed by certain conservative bloggers for relying on tweets. But what else is there? That's the only way we hear from Trump, is via tweets.
And that has also brought the brutality, the exposed the teeth of this administration and the right wing in this country, the underlying brutality. And so, in a way, his impulsiveness and difficulty keeping his process in line has stirred a lot of the resistance to it.
Well, it creates opportunities if there is, as there is here, a political determination. Like, another basis for the decision was a mistake of law. Sessions said that we don't know that this would be constitutional because of a Fifth Circuit decision on the DAPA program. But
Sessions, the Fifth Circuit is very conservative in Texas.
It's in Texas. It might be considered the polar opposite, at least on immigration issues, from the Ninth Circuit. But the Fifth Circuit never did rule anything about it being unconstitutional. So Alsup said this is essentially a mistaken law. You're getting rid of a whole program because you think it's unconstitutional, but there's never been a ruling to that effect, and there's no really reasonable basis for thinking that. Executives have an immense range of power at their disposal. It's quite likely to have been constitutional, just as it will be constitutional to get rid of it. The Constitution here is not a really big player. It's within the executive branch of government. So, ironically, it's those few rules designed to govern the executive branch of government's exercise of power that they stumble over.
What about the argument in the case around the rights of these young immigrants themselves? Their standing is introduced around the capriciousness of all of this, their lives being suddenly thrown off course without a rationale. But also, the case emphasizes how productive they are, how successful in fulfilling the American dream, thus the term the Dreamers. And Bill and Larry Kleinman spoke about that in the previous segment. What's your sense of that from this case itself, and how it frames the Dreamers, and how that rhetorical strategy might be taken up in the larger immigrant rights movement?
Well, it was really not much of this decision. It was based primarily on, it was discussed in the area of standing, like, who has standing to sue? What's your skin in the game here? You have to be able to have a real loss of your own and not just a bright idea.
Establish harms done.
Exactly. So you've got, there's a long list of the harm done, the human capital wasted, the resources invested by cities, by schools, by various organizations. And the Dreamers themselves, several of them were named, but there was no lingering on personal damage done. It was primarily a treatise in very abstract terms, a case of the law where you could say this is all bureaucratic, you know, polysyllabic jousting, but the impacts, of course, are profound on people's lives. Judge Alsup spent most of his time talking about the nature of the Administrative Procedures Act, the fact that what you must do in order to make a substantial revision of a previous policy. So I think the whole energy, the power, the force that these Dreamers supply, the fact that they themselves are directly and strongly affected by this, is indeed the energy that has caused the Democrats to hop on board for the most part, and what we call the resistance, to also work with them. But that was not really much of the lawsuit. What was the lawsuit was the fruit of all the inner work by those DACA Dreamers, and the desire to be connected with them that led bureaucracies like Brown University and the municipality of San Jose to sue on their behalf.
much like the farm workers movement, that emphasize how much we depend on the labor of farm workers who bring our food to the table. And I think that's always been important in anti-oppression politics, is emphasizing how much we depend on a group that is seen as external and illegitimate interloper. In closing, what's your sense of how this will be played out, and particularly given that 80-90% of the public apparently supports these immigrants, and it seems like a foolhardy mission in a way to have so much hinging on it on the part of the Trump administration?
Well, that's where it will be determined, in the legislature, because everybody agrees, as Judge Alsup said in his first sentence, everybody agrees that executives do have the power to get rid of this. So it can only be via legislation that they can be truly made embedded in the United States.
So we'll be continuing to follow this as we not only feel the horror and discouragement of this emboldened brutality of the Trump administration, but also the power of the resistance against it.
This decision would have never happened without that political energy.
This is Jan Hocken and Mike Snedeker talking today about the recent ruling by a federal judge to block President Trump from ending the DACA program.